Scripture this morning is Hebrews 3, 1 through 14. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion of the days of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may harden by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, friends. I was going to start with some lyrics from songs. That's just what I do. I had a bunch of them, but I think I'm just going to do one. And whoever knows who wrote this gets a valuable prize. The waiting is the hardest part. Good job. Wow. Get that man a cup of coffee. Well done. So we're going to talk about two things today. We're going to talk about time and heroes and see if we can make sense of this passage in Hebrews 3. Time goes faster as you get older. Something that I'm realizing more and more. One day you notice some peach fuzz on your cheeks, and the next day a waitress is calling you sir. That was me. And it's maybe now, as things have sped up so much, it's why I've really started to like watching baseball and cooking shows, because it's just like, okay, they're slow. And as a kid, time goes at a snail's pace, and I think that's because every day is an epic, right? There's laughter, there's tears, you make friends, you lose friends, and there's heroism. But then as you get older, it's like, well, I can just think back when the kids were younger. It's like the most exciting thing that happened to me in a 3-week span was I stepped on a Lego. But over time, when you get older, big things happen, right? Marriage, new jobs, new towns, friends come and go. Life happens. So we're going to be talking about time as well as heroes. So for the next 7 to 8 chapters, just looking ahead a little bit, we're going to start seeing Jesus compared and contrasted to everything from Moses to the Israelites to an obscure king of Jerusalem to the Levitical sacrificial system. And we're going to see how faith in God was woven into the lives of his people throughout redemptive history. And we're going to see how those practices of Old Testament Israel were but shadows pointing to the prophet, priest, and king par excellence in Jesus. And why these comparisons? I think the writer of Hebrews is drawing our attention away from ourselves and the little vapor-like time frame in which we live to the grand narrative of redemptive history culminating in the God-man Jesus. And so it's this call for us continually to hold on. And the way we hold on is to look to the faithful. We're going to look at Moses this morning, and later we'll look at Abraham and a host of others as they held on to faith. And ultimately, we look to Jesus, just as those before us look forward to the Savior, to consider Him, to contemplate Him, to fixate on Him, ultimately to believe on Him. And this is another thing. The older I get, the more it's just distilled into me. This, friends, this is all about faith. Something so simple, right? Faith. It all comes down to faith. Do I believe in this Jesus and what He's done? So let's pray as we dig into this. Father God, we praise You for what You've done in history, in reality, in sending Your Son to live and die for us and to be raised again to give us new life, eternal life, even now in Him. So, Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing in Your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's this book, came out a few years ago. It's called Unbroken. It's the story of Ernie Zamperini. He was an Olympian who ended up being drafted into the Navy during World War II. And on one of his early missions, his plane was shot down, and he spent weeks adrift in the Pacific, and then months and years in a prison camp, a war camp. And when he was finally liberated, he spent years captive to the horrors he experienced in war. And he turned to alcohol to numb the pain, and finally, at his wife's prompting, he went to a Billy Graham revival and gave his life to Christ and became the director of a Christian nonprofit camp that served underprivileged boys. He created a different kind of camp than what he was in. And we were told this story of Ernie Zamperini. He's a hero, right? A true hero, because we see over the span of his life, he had done something great. And he would say, by God's grace, truly a hero. He didn't give up. He had to fight through things to get to where he was. He had a good beginning with the Olympics. He had a rough middle section with the war and just the PTSD, I think. And then he had this happy ending as a follower of Jesus and a servant to others. But he had to fight through the tough stuff to get to the great ending. Right? The kids and I, we just watched the Star Wars movies by sequence, right? And I think that's a perfect example. You have to get through the pain of the first three, the prequels, and they really are awful, to get to A New Hope. And I think for our stories, we have to deal with that too. And I'm not just talking about stepping on Legos. I mean, life is hard. Life is hard. And for some of you, right now even, there's a little bit of quiet desperation. Like, how am I going to do this? How am I going to make this? Life is busy, the world's messed up, and we have a front row seat to it, and our hearts are going on in a million different directions. And I had a friend of mine say Friday, I wish that I could just push the cosmic pause button to get things to slow down a little bit. But here's the thing, we have a hope. We have a hope shared by millions of Christians worldwide today and throughout the ages, and a Christian can be sure that we're headed somewhere good, that God is redeeming all things. And though sometimes time draws out like a blade, while we're waiting for Christ to make all things new, we're called to faithfulness. Together, we're called to faithfulness in Him and what He's done. And the writer of Hebrews will tell us later, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. And I like Eugene Peterson, I think somebody brought it up here a few weeks ago, but defined faith this way, a long obedience in the same direction. A long obedience in the same direction, even when we can't see or understand. A friend of mine, Don, he has a 17-year-old son named Luke. And Luke has never spoken a word. He can't feed himself or get dressed. or really do much of anything without his mom and dad's help. And Don and his wife have been praying for healing for their son for 17 years, for all of his life. They've been praying. And Don shared that he prayed from the time his son was two that Luke would be able to walk, that someday he would be able to walk. And when Luke was seven, he took his first steps. And for the last 10 years, Don has been praying that Luke would be able to speak. And he's still praying. I just saw Don the other day, and he says, we're at the breaking point. We don't know what to do. And so we pray. We continue praying, this long obedience in the same direction. We pray. And he had a friend tell him of a vision he had of Luke, that Luke was sitting in his wheelchair, and his mom and dad and brother were there, and Luke looked at him and said, "Dad." And Don came undone. That's what we've been praying for all these years. And so I'm holding on to this hope that whatever you think about prophetic gifts, I'm holding on to this hope. God answered prayers, and my son was able to take a step. God answers prayers. It's been 10 years, and maybe it'll be another 20 beyond that. But God is faithful, and he's good. And I've got these brothers and sisters in Christ who are sharing this hope with me. And they're praying for me, and I'm looking for stories of healing, and I'm looking to Christ, and I have hope for Luke. I believe in the midst of all of this that God is gracious, and he's good, and he's kind. That hope that he has comes from those around him. Those are the true heroes. Kind of like an Ernie Zamperini. I would even say more so than a Joel Embiid. More so than a LeBron James. A true hero. And in the meantime, he waits, just as some of us wait. Now, there's a hero pointed to in chapter 3 of Hebrews. It's Moses. He was faithful. He wasn't perfect, but he was faithful to what God had called him to. And we could point to other positive examples throughout Scripture, David and Esther and Elijah. But here in Hebrews 3, and we remember the audience to whom this letter is written to, and Moses, right, the paragon of Old Testament virtue and faith. So pay attention, people. Moses was faithful. And I say for us, City Line Church, we look to the brothers and sisters of faith. We look to Moses to be sure, but then we look to everybody throughout the canon of Scripture. We even look to those people in throughout recent history. We look at people today. They've held on to their faith. They've been faithful to the calling to which God called them. And I think in simple ways, we look at each other in this church, right? And we could look at a marriage. I told Ken that I was going to pick on him today. We look at Ken and Edna, we say, y'all have done it 30 years of marriage. Praise God, right? And Ken would be the first to say, it's by God's grace. Edna would say, it's definitely by God's grace. But by God's grace, we can look to that marriage, or Art and Sharon, marriage for so many years, faithfulness for so many years. And some of y'all are gaining on them, right? I'm going to embarrass somebody else. Look at Katie Bollinger, right? My daughter loves you. She looks to Katie, and last week she was like, yeah, me and Katie were going to have coffee, and I couldn't do it. I had a check meeting, and then I had something, I had stupid stuff like an SAT, and I couldn't meet with her, and she was like, I love meeting with Katie. She speaks truth into her life. And Lauren looks at Katie and could look at, my kids could look at so many of you, like they're faithful, they love Jesus, and they're normal, they're not weird, they love me well. It's wonderful examples. And I think for all of us, we say, you know, these kids are watching us. They're watching us. Are we going to stay faithful? Are we going to stay faithful to Christ? And I'll share this story real quick. It's not about us being the heroes either, really, in most ways. It's like when my kids were really little, I started having categories of saying sorry to my kids. My dad Never did that. Dad, my dad was a great dad, wonderful dad. Never said sorry. It was just not, it was not in the vernacular, right? And for whatever reason, I just like, my kids need to know that, man, their daddy needs Jesus badly. And so I started to say sorry to my kids. And so when I say kids are watching us, they're not watching us in the sense that don't screw up, right? It is when we do screw up, do we look to Jesus? Do we look to Jesus? That's faithfulness. That's faithfulness. That's a good example. Those are good examples. We have a not-so-good example here in Hebrews 3 as well, the Israelites wandering in the desert. In 1 Corinthians 10, we're told that the Israelites, after their deliverance, they were written about as an example to us. And in Hebrews, we're told that there were those who fell away. Why are we told that? Real simple. This is the imperative stuff, right? We have the indicatives. Jesus is the Savior, the King, the Ruler, the Lord. He died for sinners like us. But then there's the imperative that comes after that. Walk in faithfulness to Jesus. Don't be like the Israelites who fell away. Don't be like them. They stop believing. It's a warning, right? And we have to remember, this letter is written to holy brothers and sisters, right? Those of us who share a heavenly calling. But the imperative is still the same. Hang on. Hold on. Don't be like them. Don't be like them. This is a long obedience in the same direction, continual faithfulness over the long haul. So a professor of mine, a friend of mine, he's a pastor, and a gentleman from his church came, had been a longtime member of the church, came to him, and this gentleman was leaving his wife and three kids for another woman. My pastor friend listened to him, and this guy was sharing this all and says, you know, and I know it's wrong, but you know, I'm God wants me to be happy, right? And he forgives, and I'm a Christian. And my pastor friend, in the most gentle way, said, I don't know. I don't know. Are you? Romans 11:22 says, consider the kindness of God to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Do you not realize that Christ is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? We see this throughout Scripture. If you continue in the faith, provided we suffer with him, right? Over the long haul, faithfulness to Christ, obedience to Christ. Hold on, hold fast to him. We must hold fast our confidence in Christ. And friends, we do this together. We do this together. We point each other to Christ. That friend of mine who was a pastor, 2 years ago, he himself left his wife and four kids for someone else. And my kids were so confused. Dad, I don't understand. I don't understand. And I don't either. So we're waiting. And I'm waiting for my friend to return to Jesus. And I have hope. I do. But I'm waiting. I'm waiting. We have these positive examples. We have hard examples. And I think the call for us this morning, today, as we hear this word read, we believe, Jesus, I need you desperately today, right now. I don't want to fall away. I don't want to be like those who have jettisoned the faith and gone on to do their own thing. I want to hang fast to Jesus, and sometimes it feels like I'm slipping. So Jesus, I'm going to hang on to you. I'm going to hang on to you. And brothers and sisters, that's when we come around each other. Let's do this together. I'm going to hang on to you. I'm going to hang on to my kids. I'm going to hang on to the other kids in this church. We're going to point them to Jesus continually. And so, friends, this isn't a do better, try harder, Norman Vincent Peale type sermon. Instead, what we're called to do is look to those who have come before us and see how they point to the greatness of Jesus. We look to Jesus. We consider him. We hold fast to what he's done. And then we personalize it back onto ourselves. I need Jesus. And Jesus loves me. That makes me think of Karl Barth. He was the 20th century neo-Orthodox theologian. He wrote this huge tome called Church Dogmatics, and somebody asked him in an interview, describe what's in it. Help us summarize these 2,000 pages. And he said, that's simple. Jesus loves me, this I know. We personalize this for ourselves. And then we go in this long obedience in the same direction. Friends, we do this. This is what we're called to in our families, our church family. We do this for each other, for the sake of each other. And there's going to come a day, years from now, maybe, where there will be stories of you, right? And there will be Kiana or Leia or Jason or Sarah. They'll look to your life and they'll say, they did it. They were faithful. They loved Jesus. And that's going to be their hope. That's going to be their encouragement. So let's do that for each other. Friends, we are on the clock today. And from this day forward, for all the time that God gives us, this is our time to testify to the glory of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, the imperatives of your word are so hard, and we need the hope of the gospel. So, Lord, even in a few minutes when we take communion, may that be our assurance. Jesus died for sinners. And he gave himself sacrificially in time and in history and is the ultimate hero of all things, our hero. And so, Lord, we pray that our hearts would be encouraged, that we would know that you've actually empowered us by the Holy Spirit within us to glorify you, to be ambassadors for Jesus, for those who don't believe in, Lord God, for those who do within your church, as we call each other to hold on, hold fast, to put our confidence in Jesus. So by your grace, do this in us for the sake of your glory and our joy, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.